Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Bill Kolbrenner, a very, very good morning to you. Hope you are well. Do you happen to know where that the passing of salt actually comes from?
I do not, Howard, but I do know that salt plays a special ritual role in many frameworks. Mm. It's a very valuable thing, so it's not surprising.
Okay, let's talk about words, because that's what we love to do. There's always a question around the word goy. I don't use it in conversation. Mm. It does make me just a little, I don't even know why, it feels maybe a little Lithuanian, but and that could just simply be the reason. Number one, starting right at the beginning, is it a derogatory word? And then, why am I seeing this becoming more and more used in conversations, but coming from anti-Semites?
Good question, Howard. And you know, when I hear the word goyim, I also don't use it. I hear my great uncle Morty at the Pesach Seder screaming about the Schwarzes, black people, sorry, and not me, my uncle Morty, and goyim. And that was because
so therefore it was a race, it was a racial thing.
Well, it was a racial marker, but listen, this is right after the Holocaust. These people are living in absolute trauma and terror and are afraid of everything. So, of course, goy, as we know, means nation. And the perversion of the way in which, apparently this thing now called goy slop, Howard, that's a way that we refer to the food that is mass produced by corporations to essentially, at the behest of people like us, the Jews, to poison non-Jews, that is the goyim, with unhealthy food.
We actually do that, Howard.
And I don't know if you know this as well.
No.
I think this is just a stand-up opportunity for you, Howard. There's something called the Goyim Defense League. And I'm thinking, this must be a Woody Allen movie, but it's not a Woody Allen movie. These are virulent, insane American anti-Semites who are convinced that because of the protocols of the Elders of Zion, in which we are ostensibly, well, that was made up in 1903 by non-Jews, we have determined that the nations of the world are cows. Candace Owens in America, the virulently anti-Semitic talk show host, she uses this a lot. We understand that the rest of the world are cows, so we feed them appropriately goy slop. So a student in a high school in New Jersey will say to his friend, let's go down to McDonald's and get some goy slop. And for them, and the New York Times had an article on this, you know, it's really not clear whether it's an anti-Semitic trope. And, you know, it is. But Howard, you know, you go to the heart of it. It's a word that means for us, we are a special nation.
So really what it is a differentiator. It sets, it separates us, which is part of, you know, what keeps us alive as a nation, but also what causes animosity. Because, I mean, if you look at the term Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nations, that's an absolute, that's very, very much part of our DNA. So that's a good thing, right?
I think you're right, Howard, that it's a differentiator. And there are obviously, other languages and other cultures make the same kinds of distinctions, or they make distinctions between insiders and outsiders. I mean, the irony is that for us, it has been so dangerous to be a goy that's different and separate, that when we use this mark of differentiation, it turns into something apparently we're saying against other people. And as you're saying, Howard, you know, my Uncle Morty, you know, he was racist and he was xenophobic. But, you know, he just remembered his family getting, you know, slaughtered in a synagogue, you know, 20 years before. So that's what resonates there. And that cultural marker for that generation of Jews in America served that function of protector. Now, of course, it's being used against us. Make America healthy again. Robert F. Kennedy, I think he's somebody in Trump's government, a health minister. You know, he says, make America healthy again. And there are all sorts of resonances with this right-wing conspiratorial crowd. We have to take mass-marketed food away from the Jews. 30 or 40 years ago, I had a friend working for a senator in America, and he would regularly send me letters, stop the kosher food tax. Because, of course, the OU or the OK or different kashrut agencies take a minuscule amount of money. But there were people even then 30 or 40 years ago who would say, no, the Jews are in control of our diet.
Wow. It's just absolutely astounding. The other thing that always bothers me is I don't understand why they can't conjugate this word correctly. It's not a complicated word. It's goy, which is one person, goyim, which is a few, that's plural. Why do they always get it wrong? It's the biggest tell, because when you see these fake Twitter accounts and they'll give it a name like Mordi Shapiro or something, so you think that you meant to think it's Jewish, but then they can't conjugate the word goy. It's the biggest tell, but it's not that complicated.
Well, there are innovations as well. There's something called zogchow. It's actually, that is a verb. To zogchow is to, well, I guess go to McDonald's and have a Big Mac, which, you know, you and I probably would not do, actually. But that's because we control the food industry and we're sending the poison to our...
I've never actually heard that. It actually blows my mind. I didn't realize that even that was a... even that has become a thing. How is it that we've just... You know, I keep thinking, it's how did we get here? How did we get to a place that Jews are so demonized that we are the villains of the world? And of course, we all march in unison, because there's no such thing as separation of having good Jews and bad Jews and kind Jews and not kind Jews like any other people. But we all do everything together and we're all bad.
I think there's a serious part of this, Howard, and we talk about this frequently, that is we lose control of our language. And and this is not just the culture against the Jews, it's the culture that we live in which language seems not to have a history. And I think this very term betrays that, because people will say, and in the New York Times article, it's kind of like, this is a fanciful piece, and I'm not sure if this is a bad thing or not a bad thing, or anti-Semitic or not anti-Semitic, and of course it's anti-Semitic. Not in its... The baggage is there. The historical baggage of Goy and what the Goyim think we mean by it will always be there. So even when that high school student in New Jersey says, let's go down and have some Zog slop or Goy slop or whatever they eat, and they have no idea of the history of the term, in a way, that's part of the danger. Language is out of our control. And that's why we do what we do, Howard, is we try to keep control of words. We give them their histories. We tell the words where they came from. These things are not indifferent. They're frightening and dangerous. They're funny. I mean, the Goyish Defense League, it's crazy, right? And it turns out it's not like some nebbish of people on the Upper West Side. It's these right-wing, redneck, you know, scary people, Howard. You know?
The Goyish Defense League. So it's just it's so remarkable. So we see a lot of words in that have been turned and used against us. Obviously the obvious one is Zionist and Zionism. I often, you know, people here in South Africa, they kind of get used to it. Now they're used to it, but they say, you're a Zionist, as though this is a I mean, to say no. Don't call me that. I'm sorry. I'm not. And don't actually realize that it's not the insult they think it is. But that's what's happened, because for them it actually is.
And you know, we look at some of these anti-Israeli organizations and we think they're not sophisticated, and they're extremely sophisticated. AIPAC, the main lobbying agency for Israel in Israel and in America, has been so demonized now that to be called an AIPAC person is like being called Satan. It's like being called the devil. And these and words, I think, Howard, we keep on finding out, as much as people tell us, well, words don't matter, social media this, social media that, AI, words do matter. And we have to take control of them. And we can laugh with the guy in the New York Times, but we can also say, wow, look how this anti-Semitism is just baked into our language.
What do we think of, it's a different subject, but the New York Times has just hired, and now his name just slips my mind, he's from The Atlantic, he is a Jewish writer, a Jewish commentator, and his whole focus is to be monitoring and writing about Jews and Jewish interests. Is this something, I don't know if you've come across it or not, but I just wondered if that's meant to be a step in the right direction, and if it is.
I look forward to seeing who that is. And it's, you know, William Safire did this for generations. He had a piece, he had a column every week in the New York Times Sunday magazine on language. And we need very desperately to go back on language. I mean, we don't necessarily, Howard, we need monitors, but we need people like you and me who are actually speaking our language and making it mean things and making it mean things for our community. I'm glad the Times is doing that. It must be bad because they must get lots of cancellations for them to do something like that.
Ah, that is interesting. It probably is around that. It was on Times of Israel earlier. While you're talking, I was just paging through it, but I see that they've updated, so that article isn't there, but I'll have a look at it and send it to you, and then we can get, oh, here we go. New York Times hires Atlantic's Yair Rosenberg to cover Jewish American life.
He's a good guy. He's a really smart guy. He writes for the Atlantic. He's done stuff himself. He used to dominate his father's shul.
Okay.
You know, it's one of the...
So he's actually a Jewish guy. Because, I mean, so often we're told that, Jewish interest, but they'll find somebody who's an approved Jew, which means they culturally Jewish, but anti-Israel. It doesn't look like that at all.
He's not a Mir Mamdani approved yes. Jew, which basically means somebody who is... probably has Jewish self-hatred written on their T-shirt.
Right, exactly right. That is where we do need to leave it. Professor Bill Kohlbrenner, thank you as always. Great to chat to you.